Which are being saved is a very proper way to give that passage of Scripture, to understand it by the power of God. Now, again, this salvation is a day-to-day power over sin. Now, remember, you've been saved from the penalty of sin, but every day you are being saved from the power of sin. That is a continuous saving from the power of sin over your life. You can have victory. Sometimes we call that victorious Christian living. And so this continuing sense, this present sense of being saved, is what God does for us day after day in giving us the equipping us to have victory over sin. And so this present tense salvation is from sin's power. He saves us from our tongue day after day. He saves us from our mean disposition day after day. He saves us from our temper day after day. And he saves us from all of the things that are a result of still having the old nature. And so we have been saved, past tense. We are being saved every day, present tense, from the power of sin in our lives. But we also know that there is a third sense in which there is a future tense of salvation. And again, if you would turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 13, just back for most of us a couple pages. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Says our now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That has to be talking about something yet future. And of course, that is talking about the salvation of our bodies. That our bodies will be raptured, taken out of here and brought safely to himself. And you know, there's a passage in Scripture, a couple words in Scripture that say this: the day is at hand. The day is at hand. You know, that is, again, the futuristic aspect of our salvation, that there's a day coming when Christ is going to return for us. It's called the blessed hope in Titus 2:13, the consummation of our salvation. And the day is at hand. The night is far spent. And so this day of Christ is the rapture. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." This final tense, this future tense, is what's in view back in Luke chapter verse 21. It says, "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." This is the future aspect of our salvation, our hope, the climax. And certainly, we know that the Word of God teaches that that coming of Christ could happen at any moment. We believe that the coming of Christ has nothing that yet needs to be fulfilled. When he comes to catch us up in the air and to receive us unto himself. This is a New Testament doctrine. It's not found in the Old Testament. There's no such thing as a rapture in the Old Testament. This is a doctrine that's associated with the church. And since there was no Old Testament, or no church in the Old Testament, there was no rapture in the Old Testament. And there's a church in the New Testament, and there's rapture in the New Testament. A favorite passage of Scripture that we like to read, especially when someone has passed away and at their funeral, it says, John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And so this is talking about that time when we will be gathered unto the Lord. For some, perhaps, before the rapture, when we pass away, when we die. But for those who are still living at the time of his coming, we will be raptured together. He will come again. This is not saying he will come again and convert Israel, or he will come again and judge the nations, or he'll come again and end the tribulation, or he'll come again and bind the devil. Now, he's going to do all those things, but this is not that time. This is, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We believe he's definitely talking about the rapture here. Now, I just want to remind you of one thing. Who wrote these words that I just read in the Gospel of John? Now, it's a simple question. Who wrote these words? John. What else did John write? Well, he wrote almost the last four books of the Bible, apart from the little book we're studying right now, Jude. So he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of the Revelation, and he wrote the Gospel of John here. He wrote five books for us. And when did he write them? Well, almost all Bible scholars are agreed that John was the one who wrote lastly. Some say 90 AD, some say 95, some say 100. Well, whatever, whether it's 90, 95, 100, we all agree that John was the last one to write any of his gospel or his epistles or his book of prophecy. John wrote them all last. John wanted us to know that as far as he was concerned, the very next thing that was going to happen was the rapture. We're going to be with him and be with him for where he is. And this epistle is not the only one, or his epistles or letters are not the only ones. Paul wrote about that in 1 Thessalonians, and he told us, I think we have time this morning. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, written by Paul. And I want you to notice how Paul ends every chapter in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, says, "For they themselves show us of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." What's the church to do? Wait for his Son from heaven. Notice the very ending of chapter 2. Verse 19, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Look at the end of chapter 3. Verse 13, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." End of chapter 4, we have that wonderful passage starting in verse 13, but it says, verse 17, let me start at 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And then at the end of chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we had the time this morning, we could go to the book of Corinthians and all the way through the book, starting from chapter 1 and chapter 4 and chapter 11 and chapter 15 especially, and even chapter 16, Paul writes to us truth about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one that we often overlook. In 1 Corinthians 6:22, says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. And then he says, Maranatha. Let him be anathema, Maranatha. Well, anathema means cursed. If there's anyone who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And then, what does Maranatha mean? The Lord cometh. And so even there, in the very word, Paul reminds us that the Lord is coming. We believe, the Bible teaches clearly, the premillennial, pre-tribulational return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. And we see that taught consistently throughout the Word of God. And so as we look at this fourth building block in Jude verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, it's almost the same as saying we are looking for Christ to return, when we will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, John tells us this in one of his epistles. Every man that hath this hope in himself does what? Purifieth himself. Do you know what the greatest motive for pure Christian living is today? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't hear a lot of preaching about the second coming on a regular basis, do we, today? But you know, we ought to, because that is one of the key factors of the Christian life, to always keep in mind the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. And if we keep that in mind, it will have a purifying effect on our lives. What would we not want to find the Lord, have the Lord find us doing when he comes back? If we would be ashamed to have him come back and come back exactly at the moment when we're involved in some certain activity, you know what our conscience is probably going to tell us? That we shouldn't be doing that activity. If we would be ashamed if the Lord should find us doing that when he comes back. And the fact that his return is imminent, it could happen at any moment, should have a wonderful purifying effect in our lives. Again, over and over in Romans and in 1 Peter, says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The end of all things is at hand, 1 Peter. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. James 5:8, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The truth of God's word is that he's coming, and he's coming anytime. And so, the fourth building block here, looking, where is your focus? for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let's build up ourselves in the Word of God. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's keep ourselves in the love and will of God. And let's keep looking up, because Christ is coming back. Fathers, that's how we ought to be living today. Let's pray. Lord, there is a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. There is eternal punishment and separation from God, and there is eternal glory and bliss with God. And Father, we've talked somewhat this morning about eternal life. And eternal life is something that we can have right this very moment. And it's something that we have day by day as we are delivered from sin. And it's something that we're looking forward to one day when our bodies also are saved from this present evil world. And so I pray that every person here today might know without question that they have eternal life, that they are ready should the Lord Jesus Christ appear at any moment. For sadly, those who do not have Christ as their personal Savior, when that rapture occurs, they will be left behind. And Scripture very strongly indicates that those who are left behind, Satan will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And I pray that you'll deliver them from the possibility of that strong delusion by having them place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ today before that day comes. Lord, I pray that each one here might have that firm assurance in their heart that they're a child of God by faith, and that they are ready to meet the Savior when he comes. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anyone who'd say, you know, Pastor Walder, God has spoken to my heart this morning, and I am just not 100% sure about my standing with God, my relationship with him. Perhaps I've been thinking about other things that will get me saved, but I recognize today that there's only salvation in Jesus Christ, and I need him as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm not going to trust anything else. I'm just going to trust Christ as my Savior. Could I pray for you this morning if that's a decision you're making, to put your faith and trust only in the finished work of Jesus Christ and for your salvation? And you'd say, I'm making that decision this morning, Pastor. I'm going to put my faith only in Jesus Christ, and no one else, nothing else, just Christ. Could I pray for you? If you'd slip up your hand, I'd see it, acknowledge it, pray for you today. Believers, are you looking to Jesus Christ and his mercy and his coming unto eternal life? And if so, is it having effect on your daily life, on the decisions you make, on the places you go, the things you do? It ought to have that purifying effect in our lives. Father, speak to our hearts, guide us. If there's sin to be confessed, if there's sin to be forsaken, I pray that we would deal with that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.